can never tell.
Beautiful stuff there coming from Stand Music, The Love of God. Our Daily Focus talks about kindness as a Christian witness, and so Pastor Joseph Farah is going to be presenting that. Of course, pre-recorded that for us, and so it's going to be coming through. Excuse me for that. Now, kindness is a powerful and transformative aspect of a Christian witness to the world. When believers embody kindness in their words and actions, it becomes a compelling testimony to the love of Christ. Kindness, as a Christian witness, is not just about individual actions, but also about embodying a Christ-like character that consistently reflects God's love and grace to the world. And so we want to then get into this conversation and actually understand, how does kindness serve as a distinctive mark of a Christian's character and witness? And so let's take a listen to Pastor Joseph Farah.
Good morning and welcome again to our program. We are continuing looking at the aspect of kindness. On Monday, we were defining what kindness is, and then we were also looking at kindness, love, and service yesterday. Today, we want to pick it up and look at kindness as a way of witnessing, kindness as a way of evangelism, or kindness as a Christian witness. You see, no matter how many times we read verses, no matter how many times that we want to demystify all the verses in the scriptures, but as long as our actions are not in tandem with what we are sharing, then we are simply wasting our time. And so in this regard, we want to amplify that acts of kindness are a very powerful and valuable tool for evangelism, because it is not what we say that really changes the scenario, but it is more of what we are able to do. And so it is the things that we do that leaves a long lasting impression in the minds and the lives of the people whom we impact positively. In the words of Mahatma Gandhi, when he was studying law in England, he had reached at a point where he had the privilege to read the Beatitudes, and then he was amazed by the teachings of Jesus, and he was actually influenced by the teachings of Jesus, and he made this remarkable statement that said, "I was almost converted to become a Christian." Actually, he said, "I love the Jesus of the Christians, but I hate the Christians." This is a very, disturbing statement, where somebody says, "You guys, your teachings are on point, your teachings are correct, and I so much love your teachings. And what your founder, Jesus Christ, taught, these are valuable lessons. But the lack of kindness that has been exhibited by the people who profess to be Christians, they just propelled him to go and stay away from Christianity." Now, in terms of practice, Mahatma Gandhi actually adopted the teachings of Jesus, being merciful, being kind, being meek. And when he went back to India, he mobilized, civil protests, where there were non-violence, hunger strikes, and things like that. And in the by and by, India ended up getting its political independence, not with violence, but with simply peaceful protests. And, he was inspired by the teachings of Jesus. Now, imagine the amount of influence that Mahatma Gandhi has to this very day in India and the world over. And this man was simply, you know, motivated by the teachings of Jesus. So, what are we saying? As Christians or as Adventists, the message we do have, we cannot even say anything concerning that thing. We even boast to say we are the carriers of the true message. You know, we are the carriers of the true message, but the issue is not about the message. The issue is about how we live that message. I also need to indicate that kindness, it's a powerful and transformative aspect of Christian witness to the world. When believers embody kindness in their words and actions, it becomes a compelling testimony to the love of Christ. Kindness as a Christian witness is not just about what we are saying, but it is all about what we are doing. And this was exemplified or embodied in the life of Christ. And so our call is that we are supposed to leave a distinct mark. We are supposed to leave a distinct mark on the people we come in contact with. People must know. Actually, the scriptures also indicate that when you love one another, when you love one another, only then will the world know that you have been to Christ. So there's no way that you can love somebody without action, because love is a verb. And if it is a verb, it simply means that we are supposed to show that in reality, that this is what we stand for. Now, somebody could be asking, are there examples? Could there be typical examples of kindness in the Bible? Definitely. The examples of kindness in the Bible, there are so many, and we can even read from the words of inspiration, let's say from Zechariah chapter 7 verse 10. This is what the Bible says: it is a sin to despise one's neighbor. Blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. So this shows you of your moral obligation, that if you look down on your neighbor, if you neglect to help your neighbor, it simply means you are not doing your Christian mandate. In Proverbs 14:21, the Bible says, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity and honor. So if you want to be a man of righteousness, the question is, what is righteousness? Righteousness is doing right things, being just and right. And so in the bid of being just and right, this encompasses the spirit of fairness. And when we are talking about fairness, you are talking about a standard that must be upheld, that your actions will be noble and true. And this is actually the thing that we want our members and everybody out there to get it clearly, that it is our role, it is our mandate, we are duty bound to put these things into perspective. Then, when you look at the narrative, the story of Ruth, when Naomi had gone to Moab, you know, the husband died, the sons died, and then she was supposed to go back empty-handed. But Ruth, the daughter-in-law, was so gracious. And, you know, was so gracious and kind. It is the kindness of Ruth that, you know, made her to be even recorded in the Bible. She looked at the mother-in-law. You know, since the son has died, she had an option. She had an option to remain behind. But she did not remain behind, because she wanted to show kindness. And the kindness that Ruth shows to the mother-in-law, it is unusual kindness. This we find in the whole book of Ruth, but let me just pick out Ruth chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. Naomi says these words to Ruth, "And the Lord bless you, my daughter." He replied, "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You may not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." You know, You know, these were the praises that were heaped on Ruth to say, you, after your husband died, you were not duty bound to follow your mother-in-law here in Israel. You could have remained followed after rich men or followed after old or younger men of your age, and you decide to get married. But the example that you have indicated, it is one that needs, you know, which needs a lot of, commendation, because she decided to put her life on hold, went back to Israel with full knowledge that the mother-in-law, where they were going back, she had nothing, and then they were going to start all over again, and the mother-in-law did not even have land, and Ruth was prepared to go far and near just to see to it that the mother-in-law was well taken care of. And she was even prepared to work in farms just to save the life of the mother-in-law. This is quite unusual. This is quite unusual, yet very remarkable. But when you put in comparison with the records we get in First Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2, this is what the Bible says: "Don't be afraid. David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." This was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, this is the young man who was the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan was the friend of David. Now, you will remember the story very well that Jonathan was the son of King Saul. So, under normal circumstances, after the death of King Saul, it was Jonathan who was supposed to take over leadership. But then, in the mind of Jonathan, he knew that David was anointed to be the king of Israel. And that did not bother him. You know, he was not power hungry. He was just an upright and just man who feared the Lord, and he knew that David was the chosen one and David was the anointed one. Now, what happened was that when Saul and his entire household, when they had gone for battle, they were, you know, involved in, you know, they, in short, they all died. And when the news reached that the great men have fallen, the nun, the maid that was taking care of the young boy Mephibosheth, grabbed the boy and they had to run for their lives. And in the process of running away, running for their lives, this little boy, Mephibosheth, fell down, and that is how he became lame. And he never walked again. So he moved from Jerusalem and went to stay in Lodebar. At the time now, King David is the king of Israel. When he has peace in the kingdom, he begins to recount and asks a very important question. Isn't there somebody who is remaining in the house of Saul that I may be able to show kindness for the sake of my friend Jonathan? Now, David recollects how kind and good his friend Jonathan was, because when the father was planning to kill David, Jonathan would, you know, find a way to smuggle the information, and the information would get to David, and David could run for his safety. So the safety of David was only because Jonathan was selfless. Jonathan was kind to him. You see, when you are kind, it's like you are investing. And when you invest the seed of kindness, it always repays. Now, look at this situation. Jonathan is dead. And David says, I want to show kindness to whoever is remaining in the house of Saul for the sake of Jonathan, my friend. And so Ziba, who was the servant of Saul, he comes up to the king and says, I know one who still lives. And that is Mephibosheth, and he is residing in Lodebar. And with that in mind, Mephibosheth was brought before the king, and King David says, for the sake of your father Jonathan, I want to show you kindness. And Mephibosheth says, who am I to eat on the king's table? For I am nothing but just as good as a dead dog. He could not believe himself and the kindness that was extended to him. But so, what are we saying? It always pays dividends when you are a kind person. But remember, this should not be the motivation that you may be kind today so that tomorrow somebody else can show kindness on your children. No, that should not be the motivation. The motivation for kindness should be, this is my resolute, this is my intentional decision that I will be conscious of my actions, I will be conscious of my behavior, that whatever I am going to do, I am going to leave an imprint, I am going to leave an impression in the minds of everybody that comes in contact with me. And with that perspective in mind, it becomes very, very important that we understand that kindness is a very valuable and useful tool for evangelism. The Apostle Paul says, our lives are like epistles. We are letters that have been written. And so, what I want you to take home today is that it does not matter how good you can preach on the pulpit. What matters the most is how impactful you are in the community of your residence. This has been Pastor Joseph from Zambia. We can wrap it up today and then we shall pick it up tomorrow. Remember, kindness is a valuable tool for evangelism. May the good Lord bless you and keep you safe and well. Thank you so much, and may the good Lord bless you.
Thank you so much for that message, Pastor Joseph. It's a lovely conversation, teaching a lecture from Pastor Joseph Farah. He's back to tomorrow again, same time and same place. It's been a fantastic one. Thank you so much for listening and thank you for joining us. 20 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, you're listening to the Mid-Morning Empowerment. This is Zama Malote standing in for Zanele Zama, who could not be with us today.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520. Or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.